Support for this podcast and the following message come from the United States Postal Service. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage service. Learn how to gain a competitive edge at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is an encore episode of Ask Me Another.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of tapas, takeout, and molecular gastronomy. Ask Me Another, the food show. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's new with you?
You know, I'm looking for a summer beverage. I drink a lot of coffee.
Okay. What's your daily coffee intake?
We have the pot going. And yeah. The pot equals out to 2 cups for myself, 2 cups for my husband, and then there's just a little left that is like the angel share.
Right, the angel share. And that's when you go, do you want more coffee?
Yeah, like praying. No, it's for me, it's for me, yeah. It's for me.
Please say no.
Then the day wears on and I want a beverage, I want a break. I drink a lot of water. I want a different beverage than water. I don't like sweet. I don't like...
Yeah. You don't want to be drinking sugar all day.
I don't want to be drinking sugar all day.
You don't want caffeine.
Don't want caffeine. I can't do alcohol during the day.
Well,
I've never been that.
certainly can.
But I'd like to say that I was like, what are some good suggestions? And instead of Googling this, I suppose, I went the other way, which I was like, the computer will help me. The internet will solve for this.
Yeah.
But I will put it out to some friends and fans on my Facebook page and see if anyone has a good suggestion for like a summer drink. Listen, hundreds of responses.
Yeah.
I really hit a core.
Everybody has the same problem, I assume. Everybody's working on the same problem.
Can I just give you a sampling of some wild ones and tell me what your thoughts?
I will say from this perspective, it feels like an unsolvable problem. A thing that is not sweet and not caffeinated and a good beverage doesn't exist.
Okay, well get this. Boiled ginger root, and then wait for it to cool, very important, and then add a little seltzer to it, a little tiny bit of seltzer.
Oh, a little ginger seltzer.
A little ginger
spritzer.
How about this? Half coconut water, half seltzer, garnish with a lemon, lime, orange, or cucumber.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Okay, but this is, I think, the best.
Yeah.
This is what this person, I had no idea. They start off by saying, this is not a drink. Is that not the most intriguing response
to a
question about a beverage?
Yeah.
But GE makes a somewhat expensive, prohibitive barrier, countertop appliances that makes ice nuggets, the really crunchy, airy ones.
Uh-huh. I know the kind you mean. They're a little cloudy and they sort of like, they're almost like a compressed snow vibe.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this person suggested that you just crunch a little soft ice all day.
Oh, that's very cooling. Very cooling.
I never thought about that.
No flavor there, unless you're doing it with a fruit juice or something like that.
Yeah, no flavor, but I mean, the action of it, I feel like would be, I mean, you know, not good for an audio recording. I would like to point out where you're just like, hum, hum, hum. You know what else is refreshing?
What?
This show.
This show is very, what a cool, refreshing summer beverage this show is.
That's right. As Chef August Gusteau says, anyone can cook and anyone can listen to a 52-minute trivia show about cooking. Today's food episode is a 3-course meal that will leave you feeling stuffed. We've got chefs Gabrielle Hamilton and Ashley Merriman, and from Food Network, Carla Hall and Nancy Fuller, and winner of the Great British Bake Off, Nadia Hussein. And we asked our listeners to send in some ingredients that you have lying around your home that you do not know what to do with. So we'll ask all of our guests to play a quick game of food jazz and improvise a dish based on your suggestions. So put your napkins in your laps. Let's dig in. Let's meet our first two guests. Ashley Merriman recently became the first female head chef at the National Arts Club in Gramercy Park. Gabrielle Hamilton is a James Beard Award winner and New York Times bestselling author. Ashley, Gabrielle, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hi, hi.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
So I'll ask you, Ashley. I don't know the exact answer to this question. How did you two meet?
It's a good question. We probably have slightly different answers, but
okay.
we met because we're both lady chefs, and you know that
you go to the same lady chef functions all the time.
Well, in fact, that's
I bet there
met.
Are.
That's
right.
There's an annual benefit for.
Breast and ovarian cancer.
So that we would do this fundraiser every year, and I had been working for another lady chef for many years in New York, and I was her chef de cuisine and her sous chef for many years. So I'd been to the event many times, and the first year that I was out on my own and I was the executive chef of a restaurant without working under someone else, I went to the event, and that is the first time Gabrielle noticed me. Even though I've been coming to the event for many years, and I, like many people, I think, like, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. Like, I had a big fat crush on Gabrielle. And so I, of course, all those years noticed her and was like, oh my God, there's Gabrielle. You know, not just like a crush, but like also just like a chef crush. And just like, I loved her restaurant. And so that's the first time we met. And yeah.
Does that that story ring true to you, Gabrielle, or are you like, that's not how it happened?
It really is. It's just I just wanted to say that it's not that I didn't notice you, Ashley. It's that your former chef was hiding you behind her.
That's her true.
She was casting a large shadow, and you couldn't be seen behind the huge personality. And so I thought on your first year, I did from across the room actually say to my sous chef, who is that? And she said, oh, that's Ashley Merriman. She's like Top Chef season 4. And I was like, Top Chef. Forget that.
And that's why we didn't meet again for 4 years.
Yeah, whatever.
One of those competitive chefs.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's see how it works out in a couple of our games. Are you ready for some games?
I feel ready.
This is our food show, so we are starting with all of our guests with a game. It's a little amuse-bouche, as you may say. So we asked our listeners to suggest ingredients that they have at home that they do not know what to do with. So I'm going to give you two ingredients that they've suggested, and you can work together to just improvise a dish that combines them both. Obviously, there are no wrong answers, and you can use these two ingredients as the main ingredients, but you can add whatever you want from a, mythical pantry.
Okay.
God, this is like Top Chef. Ashley, this is right up your alley.
Okay, enough to be Top Chef.
This is
like a stain on my career.
This is word Top
Chef.
Ketchup
stain.
All right, here are your two ingredients. Pickled eggs. And chestnut honey.
Ooh.
And I'm told chestnut honey specifically is made by honeybees in areas where chestnut trees are abound. And it is dark and spicy with touches of smoke and leather.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, Ash. The first thing that's coming to my mind is a savory sort of a michelada. Because, you get pickled eggs in a bar.
Yeah. Oh.
And if you put a beer and honey together, you'll make something kind of like a mead. And the pickled egg, could this work? Like a float?
Float the egg in it?
Just float a pickled egg on top, yeah.
I was thinking, when I heard pickled eggs right away, I was like, oh, we'll make some gribiche. Like, it's already there. It's already halfway there. But the chestnut honey is really throwing me for a loop here.
Did you say gribiche? Is that what I heard?
Gribiche, yeah. Sauce gribiche. It's a egg. It's like a chopped hard-boiled egg with lots of tarragon and vinegar.
Mm. Yes.
It's mayonnaise-y. It's like hot egg on egg action. So it's got the chopped hard-boiled egg and mayonnaise sort of feeling to it. So
yes.
Delicious.
That sounds amazing.
And the honey?
You just circle the honey around the whole dish to make it look nice. How about that?
Garnish.
Yeah, exactly.
The chestnut honey garnish. That's a good one.
All right. Let's move on to the competition, shall we?
Oh, boy. We shall.
Okay. We're going to start with a speed round called Food Mentos. So from your restaurant, Prune, Gabrielle, you know a thing or two about brunch. Brunch, of course, is a mashup of the words breakfast and lunch. Combining words like that is called a portmanteau, and there are a lot of food-related ones. So Jonathan and I will give you two words, and you just tell us what the portmanteau is. And to make it slightly harder, we are going to give you the words in the wrong order. Gabrielle, I'm going to start with you. Here we go. Gabrielle, raisin and cranberry.
Craisin.
Exactly. Pub and gastronomy.
Gastropub.
Yes. Yogurt and frozen.
Frogurt. Or is it Frogurt? I mean, it's like...
I'll accept it. I was also... The other possibility is Froyo. Fork and spoon.
Oh, a spork.
Yes. Cocktail and mock.
Yes, the mocktail.
Pomelo and tangerine.
Oh, a tangelo.
That's right. Fantastic. You did great.
Okay.
And of course, the pomelo is the largest citrus fruit, and the tangelo is a hybrid first created in the late 1800s. Who knew? I thought that was yesterday.
Of course.
And a mocktail is something that I don't enjoy. I would take an alcoholic drink that just gently chided me. But...
All right, well, Ashley, the score to beat is 6. Is a perfect score. So you won a competition. Here it is.
Okay, here we go.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Martini and apple.
An appletini.
That's right. Very Top Chef drink. Turkey. Sorry, that was...
We're talking about the downfall of civilization, yes.
That's what I would drink.
Same. Terrible. Appletini, Top Chef, downfall of civilization.
Right. All in the same basket.
Yeah.
All right. Turkey and tofu.
Oh, tofurkey.
Tofurkey. Mayonnaise and vegan.
Veganaise.
Yeah. Angry and hungry.
Hangry.
Yeah. Apple and grape.
Grapple? Grapple?
Grapple, that's right. Apricot and plum.
A pluot.
Pluot, yes. All right, you got them all right.
All right.
Yeah. this was way too easy. You did amazing. Speed round 100%. More with Gabrielle Hamilton and Ashley Merriman after the break. And from Food Network, Carla Hall and Nancy Fuller will meet a brand new character everyone's buzzing about. Plus, a little later, Bake Off's breakout star, Nadia Hussein. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot, so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another, The Food Show. Are you enjoying your meal? Is there anything I can get you? If you need anything at all, I'm Jonathan Colton, and here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. We're playing games with chefs Gabrielle Hamilton and Ashley Merriman. Are you ready for one more?
Ready.
Okay. As Shakespeare wrote, if music be the food of love, play on. So in honor of that, Jonathan Colton is going to sing you the clues in this game called Sauced About Sauce.
Okay.
Yes. We rewrote songs about getting drunk or sauced to make them about sauces and condiments. So all you have to do is tell me what I'm singing about or the song or artist that I'm parodying. And you can be working together, so when I finish the song, you could talk it out, figure it out.
All right. Thank God.
All right, here we go. Made from beans. Fermented beans. When I get Chinese food, they'll send some my home in a plastic envelope.
Soy sauce?
Soy sauce is correct. Absolutely.
Soy sauce. Excellent.
What's the
yep.
song, though?
What's the song? Yeah.
did you recognize it?
Almost.
Almost.
Yeah, you know it. When you hear it, you're going to be like, ugh.
It's Red Red Wine, originally Neil
yes.
Diamond, but most people know the UB40 version from the 80s.
It's true.
Okay.
All right, here's another one. Anytime I'm out of this stuff, pull up near another fancy car to borrow a jar.
That's good.
If they only have the yellow squirt kind, if it's not the fancy one from France, I look askance.
Oh, so good.
This is
well
good.
Done.
This is
thank
very
you.
Well
thank
done.
You.
Pardon me, sir, but do you have any Grey Poupon? Yes. My brothers and I, when I was little, used to play that game. We would get in the car, pretend we were driving, someone would be the chauffeur, someone would sit in the back. Roll down the window, which, of course, in those days, you had to actually
hand
roll
crank.
Down the window yeah. and hand over the bottle of Grey Poupon
oh my
to
goodness.
The other brother sitting outside
yeah.
on the bicycle.
Yeah.
Talk about a setup for you becoming who you are. That was a childhood game.
Yeah, of course. And I was the chauffeur. So, yeah, exactly. Perfect.
And did you recognize the song?
Is it from the Eagles or it's
yeah.
It is
Don
the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Eagles.
That's
yeah.
it.
It's Tequila Sunrise. All right, here's another one. On my ice cream, there's a gooey yellow ooze. If the name has you confused, no, it's not made out of booze. It's for ice cream. Make a sundae out of it or a sweet banana split. I like more than just a bit on my ice cream.
Well, I'm going to have to go butterscotch.
Butterscotch yes. is correct, yeah, absolutely.
Butterscotch, but what is the song?
It's by the same artist that did Firework.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help at all?
That's Katy Perry. That's Katy
yes.
Perry.
Katy Perry, it
yep.
is.
Yeah.
That Last exactly. Friday Night is the song, that's right.
Different age bracket here, I think.
Yeah, no, I know.
yeah.
I wouldn't have known it either.
You know what, yeah. Butterscotch might be a different age bracket. Is Butterscotch... I mean, I feel like there was a moment.
Now it would be called a salted caramel sauce.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes.
That's
course.
Right.
Yeah.
Or everything is salted and
That's
burnt.
Right. Right. Because to make butterscotch, you need a grandmother's purse for it to sit in for a while, right? That's part
yeah.
of it.
It's the best way. Okay, this is the last one. Woke up on Sunday feeling so hungry. Too late for breakfast, but early for lunch. So cover my poached eggs with a sauce made from more eggs. That lemony drizzle, it makes it a brunch.
The sauce is hollandaise.
Hollandaise, that
yes.
is correct, yeah.
And I guess it's wasting away in Margaritaville.
Yeah, Jimmy
yes.
Buffett, that's right. I mean, it's hard to beat a poached egg with hollandaise sauce on it. I mean,
so
it's
good.
Strong agree. You just strong agree.
Another perfect game. A really perfect game. Well done.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Chefs Gabrielle Hamilton and Ashley Merriman. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
for having us. Thank you very much.
Our next two guests are all over the Food Network. Carla Hall was a fan favorite chef testant on Top Chef and currently hosts Food Network's Baking Championships. Her upcoming children's book is called Carla Hall and the Christmas Cornbread. Nancy Fuller owns the huge food distributor Ginsburg's Foods and hosts the show Farmhouse Rules and is a judge on Food Network's Baking Championships. She's joining us by phone from Knoxville, Tennessee. Carla, Nancy, hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Such a pleasure. Carla, tell me about this upcoming children's book that you have called Carla and the Christmas Cornbread.
I am so excited about it. When I was a kid, I loved drawing. So I loved drawing cartoons. So I've wanted to do a children's book forever. And this is a book that chronicles my childhood going to my grandmother's house for Sunday suppers. But during this book, we are celebrating Christmas, and I'm cooking with her because I ate Santa's cookies, and then she has to replace the cookies with what? Christmas cornbread, which is something that she made up because that's what grandmothers do.
Is there anything about Christmas cornbread that is specific to the recipe?
Well, one of the things that we do is make a cinnamon butter that we turn the regular cornbread that she would normally make into something that's holiday-ish and just using some of these warming spices. So there's cinnamon and vanilla in the butter.
Oh, that sounds so delightful. And Nancy, one of the things that I've heard you talk about is people ask you many questions like, if you could cook for anyone, who would you pick? And you've said Julia Child. My question to you is, what would you make her?
Oh, you know, I guess I didn't think about that. I guess I kind of just thought that maybe she would cook with me and I'd learn a little something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if I were going to cook with her, it would probably be my chop chop in the pot chicken because it's fail safe and she would love it. And it's the whole chicken. It's the carrots and the beets, onions, it's celery, it's whatever you want, any kind of vegetable you want.
Delicious.
And a little white wine.
Of course, Nancy. Sure. Of course. Nancy's not going to do anything without the wine.
Or the tequila or the bourbon.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? That's on the side, right? That's on the side?
On the side.
Both.
On the both. Okay, so we have a couple great games for you. Carla, Nancy, are you ready to play some games?
Sure.
I love games.
Great. So this is let's do a warm-up. We asked our Twitter followers to suggest some ingredients. I'm going to give you a set of those ingredients, and I just ask that the two of you work together to improvise a dish that incorporates them both. Mm-hmm. So your ingredients are Crusian Blackstrap Rum.
Oh!
Nancy don't know what to do with that. Okay,
and
what else?
The other ingredient is a can of tiny shrimp.
Okay, Nancy, here we are. You know you're going to know what to do with the alcohol, but can I start with the shrimp?
Yes. Nope, I'm going to drink the alcohol, and all you have to work with is shrimp.
I'll drink the alcohol, and you get a can opener and a fork.
You know what? I am totally in for this dinner party. I will be there.
Do we have butter in the refrigerator?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we always have
butter.
Come on.
All right, so we always have butter. The salt's already in the shrimp. Maybe more of a meal is making a pasta and the shrimp and the butter, garlic, parsley, and maybe just a little bit of that rum.
Amazing. I love it.
Boom. I like it, Nancy. I'm high-fiving you from afar.
Okay.
So now we have a little speed round for you. You're going to take turns playing this game. It's called Real or Fake Fair Food. We're going to give you the name of a state and a food that you can experience at its state fair. And you just tell us if it's something real or something we made up. So, Carla, this is for you. Arkansas, fried Pop-Tarts.
Real.
That is real. California, fried White Castle burgers.
California, fake.
It is real.
Yes! In California?
I know.
Okay.
Montana, fried cough drops.
No.
Fake. That is fake. Utah fried jello.
Real.
That is real. Alaska fried snow cone.
Fake.
Correct. Minnesota fried pickles and chocolate.
Real.
Totally real. Texas cotton candy tacos.
It's Texas. I'm going to say real.
You are correct once again. And finally, Indiana fried Pepsi.
Oh, fried Pepsi batter. I'm going to, as much real.
It is real. And you're definitely on the right track. They replaced the water in the batter with Pepsi. The treat has been described as a donut hole, but with a noticeable Pepsi undertone.
Yes, I love it. And I think I did very well.
Yeah, Nancy, the score to beat is 7. Mm-hmm. Carla got 7 out of 8, which is pretty impressive. So I'm going to give you 8 right now. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Texas, Kool-Aid pickles.
Real.
That is real. California, python kebabs.
Fake.
That is real.
Yuck.
Illinois, alligator on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real. Iowa, fried butter.
Real.
Yeah, that's real. Arkansas, barbecue pulled pork parfait.
Real.
Yes, real. Missouri, turkey smoothie.
Fake.
Yeah, yes, right. It's disgusting. Florida, peanut butter ramen burger.
Real.
Yeah, that's real. And lastly, Tennessee, hot beef sundae.
Real.
Yeah, that is correct.
Who won?
Well, good to know where your head's at.
It is a tie. You guys tied at 7 out of 8. Very impressive. Very impressive.
And I think we learned that you can fry anything.
Yeah.
100%.
Well done. We're playing games with chefs Carla Hall and Nancy Fuller. Are you ready for one last game?
Yes.
So this game honors some of the busiest food manufacturers in the world, honeybees. And to help ask you the questions, we have a very special guest, a real-life honeybee named Dronathan Buzzton. Hello, Dronathan.
Hello. Hello, Nancy. Hello, Carla.
Hello, Dronathan.
I'm happy to be here. But I have a hard out in about 10 minutes because I got to get back to doing bee stuff. So.
Okay, well, let's get to it.
Yeah, let's
So... So you're going to be working back and forth with this one. Jonathan, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. This one's for Carla. Carla, the job market in the honeybee world is absolutely buzzing. And you could honeycomb through the e-listings. Do you see what I did there? For hours.
I see what you did there.
Nectar foraging, hive building, wax making, all sorts of jobs. What's the only qualification to get these gigs?
Is it you must A, be 1 month or older, B, you must be female, or C, you have to be a go-getter honey wizard with a rock star sense of humor?
I think about the queen bee being female, but are the drones female too?
No, the worker bees are all female.
Okay, so that?
That's right. Male bees, all drones, and their only purpose is to mate with the queen. Lazy. The worker bees are all female.
I mean,
correct.
I would love to have a job, but I'm not allowed to because I'm male. So
I've heard this excuse before.
Yeah. All right, Nancy. According to the University of Arkansas, what percent of fruit, vegetable, and seed crops in the United States require honeybees for pollination?
Is it A, 50%, B, 25%, or C, 80%?
C.
80%. Wow. And you were quick to that. You know that. The answer is C.
Yeah. All right, Carla. I was on Bumble the other day, and I told this absolute queen that I would never forget her smile. Well, she told me to buzz off, which really stung. So, besides a beautiful smile, what else can bees recognize and remember?
Do bees recognize and remember A, traffic signs, B, their favorite dialogue in Bee Movie, or C, individual human faces?
What? They are really smart.
They are super smart.
They are super smart.
You want me to tell you the answer, Carla?
Of course, Nancy, if you know it, come on.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
See?
See individual human faces?
Correct.
That is correct. How did you know that?
Because I read about the bees.
Oh, all right.
Nancy's an old friend. Nancy is a friend to all bees, I'm here to tell you.
I found a friend in Nancy.
Yeah, so this study was by a scientist in Cambridge. It involved pictures of human faces, and one of them was covered in a sugar solution. Smart. But when the scientist took the sugar away, the bee still flew to the same person's face, and truly, it is unclear whether they think human faces are human faces or just really weird flowers.
Nancy, this is the last question. Bees are, of course, famously busy, but being a bee isn't always the bee's knees. How much honey can the average honeybee make in its lifetime? Its whole life?
Is it A, 2 tablespoons, B, 1/12 of a teaspoon, or C, you know what? A bee's worth is not determined by its honey's output.
It takes 12 bees to make 1 teaspoon of honey.
Yeah, so that's B.
Carla, you were dancing through this question. You definitely felt connected to it. Please explain.
I was, because that's the only thing that I really know about bees. It makes me really appreciate honey and all the work that went into it.
Yeah. Carla, I'm very glad to hear you appreciating us, because it is, I mean, it's a lot of work to make honey, and I feel like people don't get how difficult it is. You spend your whole life, you get 1/12 of a teaspoon. What's it worth? You know, but to hear you say how much it means to you, that means a lot to us.
Dronathan, I see you and I appreciate
you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Carla. I see you, too, and I recognize your face also.
Okay, everyone, just take in a moment and just remember that Dronathan doesn't have to do any of the work. Okay, just remember that.
Thank you. For other bees who are making the honey, I feel bad for them.
Don't take the credit of the females, okay?
No, but I'm
saying, had enough of this.
As a species.
Okay.
As a species.
Right. Carla, Nancy, Ofira, what a pleasure it has been hanging out in such a bee-positive situation.
Oh,
I really do appreciate your time and attention to us bees, so thank you very much. And thanks
Anytime.
For having
Pleasure.
Me on the show, Ofira.
Pleasure.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah, you both did fantastic.
It was wonderful.
Carla Hall wrote the cookbook, Carla Hall's Soul Food, Every Day and Celebration, and the upcoming children's book, Carla and the Christmas Cornbread. Nancy Fuller's book is Farmhouse Rules, named after her show on Food Network, where you can catch them both. Coming up, I'll talk to Bake Off winner Nadia Hussein, and she'll tell us what to do with those emoji-shaped birthday candles we all have lying around. I'm Ofira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mattress Firm. To feel energized this spring, you need quality sleep. To achieve quality sleep, you need the right mattress. Mattress Firm will help you find the right bed to improve your sleep with their wide selection of quality mattresses at every price. Plus, if you see a lower price, Mattress Firm will match it. The right mattress matters, and Mattress Firm will find yours during the Friends and Family Sale. Shop in-store or online at mattressfirm.com. Restrictions apply.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this country, more than 2 local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This is Ask Me Another, the food show. Did you save room for dessert? Can I tempt you with our sinfully decadent chocolate tort with homemade vanilla bean ice cream? I'll just leave the menu here for you, and I'll be right back. Also, I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ofira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. She won season 6 of The Great British Bake Off. Since then, she's hosted multiple cooking shows, including the BBC and Netflix series Nadia's Time to Eat and Nadia Bakes. And she's also the author of 4 children's books and 5 cookbooks, including her latest called Nadia Bakes, which is available now. Nadia Hussein, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I have to say thank you so much for coming to us from a different time zone. Where are you right now exactly? Are you in London?
Yes, I mean, I'm just outside of London.
And I know you grew up just outside of London, and you didn't grow up in a baking household, and your mother actually used your family oven for storage?
Absolutely. We did a lot of stovetop cooking. We had an oven that came with the cooker.
Yeah.
But my mum used it for storage. So she would put all her frying pans and, we very much, we made samosas and things like that. So my mum would put all her kind of leftover oil in her pans inside the oven. And that's what I thought it was. I thought it was storage the whole time. I grew up thinking that cupboard was storage up until the point I went to school, when my home ec teacher opens up this cupboard and there are flames in this cupboard. I was like, Mrs. Marshall has gone mad. She's lost it. The cupboard is on fire. And she was like, no, this is an oven. And that was a complete revelation for me.
Well, clearly a lot changed in the course of from that moment to most recently in 2015, you won season 6 of The Great British Bake Off. When I watch The Bake Off, it's so comforting. It is a soothing, wonderful competition show, and everyone seems so supportive of each other.
I mean, it is when you're a viewer.
Yeah, so what is it actually like?
Very different. I mean, as a Bake Off fan, I've watched it for years. Before I was a part of the show, watched it for years. So there is something very soothing about watching amateur bakers lose it a little bit in a tent kind of make it is. I don't know what it is. It's really harsh telly. It is in some ways, but somehow wrapped in bunting and a beautiful tent in the British countryside, it somehow appeals and it works. But it's a whole other, I think, from a different perspective, as somebody who's been a part of the show, it is when you've got sort of 50 people in a tent with contestants and cameras in your face every time you make a move, or before you even put anything in an oven, they're like, you've got to let us know before you put something in the oven, you've got to let us know before you take something out, so they can get their shots. Amateur bakers, we just want to bake, we just want to get the bake right. And often you start, you're having these conversations midway. And for a lot of us, it was natural to, I have 3 kids, 2 cats, and, I'm used to kind of stopping and starting and multitasking while I'm baking. So for me, that wasn't that difficult. But for others, they're used to kind of peacefully baking with no interruptions. Whereas with Bake Off, I think there is all of the kind of jeopardy in those moments where things go wrong. But there's also, I know as a contestant with 11 other contestant friends, we did kind of will each other on. It was really hard to see somebody go. And we were really supportive of each other. And, there were moments where, I remember sometimes somebody would look over and be like, I can't remember what temperature jam is supposed to go up to. And you're kind of like mouthing the temperature to them. So, it's one of those things, it's a competition, but equally it's not.
Shortly after you were on the show, you were asked to bake a cake for the Queen of England's 90th birthday party. That sounds like a lot of pressure.
Yes. I mean, it was really bizarre because I was kind of thrown into the thick of it, and it became that whole kind of whirlwind. I was in the center of this whirlwind, and then I get this email to say, will you bake a cake for the Queen? And in my haste, I did actually consider saying no. I did. I said, I think I'm going to say no. And it was like, really? You're going to say no? I'm sure that's like treason or something. I'm sure you're just strung and quartered. I don't know. I was like, what do I do? And so I did what most parents do. And I consulted my 4-year-old. And I said, I got this email. And they've asked me to bake this cake for the Queen. And my little girl said, but Mummy, you've baked a cake for the Queen. And I said, no, I haven't. And I was like, this is confusing me. Like, we had this conversation back and forth. I was like, you've baked it. I said, no, I haven't baked it. Where are you getting this from? She said, Mary Berry is the Queen of England. And I said, oh. I was oh, love. No, she's not the Queen of England. And she said, oh, Mum, you can't say that. Mary Berry's the Queen of England. I was like, No, 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 she's not. She goes, I don't know who the other old lady is, but you can bake her a cake if you want to. In our house, Mary Berry's the queen.
I love that. So when, so you say yes, and then are you provided with any guidance, like likes or dislikes or flavors or...
Literally nothing.
What?
I had nothing. And then they said, the only thing that we're asking, I thought, yes, this is great. They're going to give me something. And they said, can you just make sure it's not fruitcake? Because she's quite old and she can't really cut fruitcake because it's quite tough. Oh, yeah. So I was like, is that it? I was not going to make fruitcake anyway.
For like, a 90th birthday party. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not Christmas. It's not a wedding. Right. So it wasn't going to be fruitcake anyway. So, and again, like I said, I consulted my four-year-old at the time and she said, well, you did make Mary Berry a lemon drizzle in the final, so you could just make her an orange drizzle. And I was like, that's not a bad shout. So that's exactly what I did. I made an orange drizzle sponge with a, it was, so it was like a very kind of a zesty orange drizzle. And then I made a orange buttercream and then it was laced with marmalade. So it was zesty and fresh, perfect for that time of year.
And did you receive any feedback afterwards?
Literally nothing again. Again.
Right now, you also have a new cookbook that is accompanying your series on Netflix called Nadia Bakes.
Yes.
And there is a whole section in the cookbook that I love dedicated to no bake bakes.
Yes.
And within the no bake bakes, if I'm the most beginner, where should I start?
Oh, my goodness. Just give me a second.
Okay. Great. Oh, my. I think I'm getting literature brought
in. I hope she brings back a cake.
Yes. So, right, here it is. Please send me that
this
cake.
Book, okay. If you're the kind of baker who isn't confident but wants to create something beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think if I was going to pick a recipe, it would probably be the banana and blueberry cheesecake. It's frozen bananas, really simple, and it's a banana cheesecake ice cream. So you've got like a biscuit base, frozen bananas, maple syrup, cocoa, and then you've got a gorgeous warm blueberry compote on top, and you don't even have to turn the oven on.
That sounds exactly my speed.
Yeah.
Nadia, we have some great games for you, but first I have a mini challenge for you since we were just talking about making things.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're challenging all of our guests to improvise a dish on the spot,
mm-hmm.
incorporating two ingredients that were suggested by our listeners.
Okay.
Okay, first...
Are they going to be the most ridiculous ingredients? Let's hear this.
Sure.
Yeah, of course, to a certain extent.
To a certain. So the what I would call the divisive yeast spread Marmite.
Right.
And super wide sweet potato starch noodles.
Oh, oh my goodness, easy.
And there's a decoration on top and a emoji-shaped birthday candles.
This is a no-brainer. This is a dish that I do all the time. And it's literally boiled pasta or noodles. So you boil the noodles and I would warm up a little bit of butter with like a tablespoon of that yeast extract and melt the yeast extract and then literally just pour that on top of my noodles. And normally, like, if I'm allowed, I would just grate a little bit of cheese on top. So you've got that salty, cheesy, it's one of our go-to dinners at home. So, and as for the candles, throw them in the bin. Unless you have cake.
No, that's great.
Throw them in the bin.
That, okay, that was incredible. That was incredible. Now, I read when you bake a cake at home or wherever you are, that you usually have a bowl of tangy sweets nearby to eat at the same time. Is that?
Yes, that is the story of my life. I have jars of sweets dotted around the entire house and I have sweets under my pillow.
Just in case like you wake up in the middle of the night and you want a little bit of candy.
A little something.
It happens, Jonathan. It happens. I wake up sometimes and I've got like an idea for a recipe. So I'll sit there and I'll write these recipes with the light on my phone and then I'll write them down. They'll be like, oh, there's time for a fizzy snake. And so I'll just pop a little fizzy snake in my mouth. And then I spend a lot of time brushing my teeth. Then I go and brush my teeth and then I come back. So yes, I love sweets.
Also the idea that you have snake-shaped sweets under your pillow, I think is particularly hilarious. Just someone else would be like, oh my God, oh, it's a candy. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we know that you love gardening.
Yes.
So we wrote a culinary botanical game for you.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the idea. Many plants look very different, but are actually very closely related in the sense that they are members of the same botanical family.
Yes.
So we're going to give you two plants, and you just tell us, are they related or are they not related?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So let's give it a shot. Mm-hmm. So here's your first one. Almonds and cherries. Are they related?
Oh, I want to say yes, but I'm going to say yes.
You are right. No, you should say yes.
Okay.
Yes, say
They are related.
They are related. Yes, they're like Prince William and Prince Harry of the stone fruits.
Okay.
So they're both stone fruits.
But very different.
AKA droops, like peaches. But the almonds we eat are the droop seeds from the almond tree.
Okay.
And they are related. I know. Who knew?
I will break the ice in a new conversation of new people with that fact.
Yeah. This is what this show is for, is to arm you at parties with conversational gambits. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, here's another one for you.
Okay.
Catnip and peppermint. Are they related?
What is catnip made of?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Excellent question.
Well, it is a plant.
It is, because it's like this grassy stuff. I know, because I have cats, and my son puts catnip in the weirdest places. He just kind of around
the house.
Yeah, well, the cats go insane sometimes. They do. I'm like, what have you done? He goes, oh, I've just put catnip in the laundry basket. I'm like, but why? But do they like peppermint? I'm just trying to think if they like. I'm gonna say no.
They are actually related. They're both in the mint family.
Really?
Yeah, and cats love catnip because it contains a chemical similar to cat pheromones, which makes them go crazy. That's why.
Which makes them go crazy. Mm-hmm.
You know what? Why don't give them a mojito? That's where I would start.
Give a cat a mojito.
I bet that might slow them down. But they'd be so happy.
They'd be happy.
Listeners, do not do this. This is just
happy
a joke.
Drunk
just
cats.
So you know.
Yeah.
Happy drunk cats. I'd buy that book, by the way. All right, Nadia, how about bananas and strawberries? Are they related?
I'm going to say no.
All right, you are correct. The answer is no. The way we have it broken down here is that bananas are technically berries, and strawberries are not. It's because the botanical definition of a berry is a fruit that comes from a single flower with one ovary. Strawberries come from a single flower with more than one ovary. Strawberries are actually more closely related to roses.
Oh, wow. See what I mean? Just go buy a strawberry, kids.
Just go buy a strawberry.
It's too much trouble. Even talking about a strawberry is
I know. This is the part where you become the annoying person at the cocktail party with your facts. You're like, well, actually, it's not a... You don't want to do that.
That's right. That's why I never bring my my pedantic botanist friend with me. Yeah.
I know. They seem so great at dinner, and then you bring them to a party.
You're like, no, thank you.
Your invite got lost in the post.
Yeah, sorry. All right, here's another one. This is a weird one. Peanuts and clover.
I'm going to say no, they're not related, but you're going to tell me different, aren't you?
I'm going to tell you different. They are actually related. They're both in the pea family of plants. So peanuts aren't really nuts. They're technically legumes, which have these edible seeds that come in a pod. And the same is true of clover.
Really?
Yeah, they're both part of the pea family of plants. Again, this is when you're like, why did I bring the botanist here? Why is he ruining every conversation?
The botanist.
Although I love, by the way, I just want to say, I love saying the word legume.
Yeah, it's just a good word.
It's a great word.
It's a good word. Rolls off the tongue.
Legume. All right, Nadia, how about licorice and anise?
I mean, flavor-wise, they're quite similar, aren't they? So it's interesting. So I'm going to say yes, but are you going to tell me different?
I am going to tell you different. Yeah. They are not. They taste very similar, but get this, licorice comes from the legume family.
No.
Yes.
This is getting ridiculous now.
More botanist trickery.
And I know.
Anise comes from the parsley family.
Really?
And I just found out that star anise Is it related to anise? Star anise comes from the Magnolia family.
Oh, we don't care anymore. Jonathan, you know we don't
keep
care,
all
do
all of
we?
Your plants. Keep yeah. all of your plants. We don't talk even to me care. About them.
We have yeah, to no. we have right. to redo everything. We have to redo all of our naming conventions because right. they were just based on willy-nilly ideas.
That's right.
of nothingness.
All right, here's the very last one.
Okay.
Artichokes and sunflowers.
I don't know. Ah, I care so much, but equally I don't. Ah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're related.
They are absolutely related. They both come from the daisy family. So nice. Artichokes, actually, if you let artichokes grow, instead of yes. picking them and eating them, they mm-hmm. bloom. And when they bloom, they have these beautiful purple flowers. Mm. And so the thing that's similar about these plants, their flowers are grouped very close together, makes them look to us like one big flower. So, you know, when you see like a petal on a sunflower, each one of those is its own individual flower.
Yes, amazing. That's quite interesting, that.
You did fantastic. You did great. I'm going to say yes, you did.
I mean, I love your enthusiasm, but I didn't. And will I remember any of it? Nope.
No, it hardly matters.
It doesn't matter, because you'll just eat it and enjoy it, and yeah. that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Nadia Hussein's latest cookbook is called Nadia Bakes and is available now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
Excellent. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our games were written by our staff, along with Julia Melfi and Kate Villa, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, and Ramel Wood, with Gianna Capodona and our intern, Zach St. Clair. Our senior producer is Travis Larchuk. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. And our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grudman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Chevron. Methane management is a critical part of achieving a lower carbon future. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. They're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices, and they've trialed over 13 advanced detection technologies, including drones and satellites. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Linda Mood Bell. Linda Mood Bell summer instruction for reading, comprehension, and math can help students catch up or get ahead. Summer instruction is designed to help children feel more confident, prepared, and excited about learning and school in the fall. Linda Mood Bell's evidence-based approach is individualized for all types of students with challenges that affect learning, including dyslexia. Learn more at lindamoodbell.com/NPR.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.